conference is now being recorded.
Thank you, Nakia. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group call on the 9th of September, 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Olivi Kwame, Larnell Roska, Pam Little, Jonathan Zuck, Graham Bunton, and Jeremy Beal. We have no apologies. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, Amy Bivens, Brenda Brewer, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and please begin.
Thanks a lot, everyone. This is a group that doesn't believe in apologies. That's why we don't have any apologies. We're an unapologetic group. I think that's important to put out there. But so there's a we did the roll call. Are there any updates to statements of interest that anyone wants to bring up? Anything we should know about? All right, so I think we're going to look at the report, issue report guide draft, and then hopefully we're going to begin this discuss the beginnings of a framework for requesting data from contracted parties, and hopefully with good input from Graham and Pam and. So that maybe we can try to organize something face-to-face in Los Angeles. So that's the other big agenda item. Does anybody else have any questions about the agenda before we dive in? Okay. So, Steve, go ahead. Presumably you're leading us through this document.
Yeah, this is Steve. Thanks, Jonathan. I just wanted to say a couple of quick words that Barry is probably going to be taking a little bit more of a backseat role on this group. He's stretched thin, and so I'll be taking the lead for this group just to relieve a bit of the burden on him. Rest assured, he'll still be available and participating, so we will not lose his wisdom, experience, and overall contributions. And so you guys might have seen me on the calls lurking at the bottom of the list, since it's always in alphabetical order. And I've sent a couple things around. But just to give you a little bit of background about who I am, I joined ICANN in 2008, and I've been here about 5.5 years, most of those years with the new GTLD ops team. And I moved over to the policy team to support the GNSO policy group about 4.5 months ago. So that's all. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Yes, I noticed that Barry had changed his designation from host to participant, but I think we're all in this together, so there's not much of a hierarchy for what we're trying to do.
I would hope not.
Huh?
I said I would hope not. A hierarchy in this type of discussion isn't going to be very productive at all.
Exactly. So, Steve, do you want to begin the conversation of this report?
Sure.
Of this draft?
Sure thing. So, Steve, so this is the first and kind of an informal look at so we want to look at the PDP process overall and see where it can be augmented to take data in consideration to achieve better outcomes. This is just, it's really a central part of the charter and this working group overall. So this document itself is looking at one of the first steps in that PDP process. It's the issue report. And so like I said, this is an informal starting point, and it's listing out a number of questions that we would expect would be useful for any working group to start looking at. Actually, I guess it's not a working group yet, but the staff, the issue requester, and potentially even the GNSO Council to take a look at and to think about as they are thinking of requesting an issue report and drafting the issue report. So what this is intended to do is to look at the issue, think about the scope of the issue, think about who it affects, the likelihood of affecting those parties or unintended parties, the severity. So this document was circulated last week. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to take a look at it. I hope you did. So I'm not sure what the group wants to do, if we want to look at these individually or if we have overall thoughts that working group members had that they wanted to bring up. So I turn over the group to give me guidance on how you want to proceed on this.
Sure. So this is Jonathan again for the transcript. We did get a chance to look at this, and I think in large measure this is captures the conversation we had on this topic. I'm not sure that we reached a definitive conclusion about what we thought the boundaries of the issue report were versus the responsibility of the chartering team versus the responsibility of the work group when it came to the analysis of the data. But certainly, I think that the there seemed to be some consensus on the call that it would be valuable for the issue report to begin to compile data and make available objective statistics about ways that the problem might be measured and what some of those measures might be, so that they could be used by the chartering team for scoping purposes. If a work group was going to be formed and what the scope of that endeavor was. Did other people have other things they wanted to raise from that conversation that appear to be reflected inaccurately in this document, or do you feel like that it was relatively captured, the conversations we were having? And I know that those lines between the three, if you will, the three groups that would convene around a particular issue are a little bit hazy. And it might be outside our remit to make them less so, but there did seem to be some consensus that we'd want the data collection and analysis to begin at the issue report level. Does anybody want to get in the queue to talk about that today?
Cheryl here, Jonathan. I didn't put my hand up, sorry. I just want to suggest that I'm in absolute agreement with what you're saying, but we didn't have a complete group when we had that conversation, and we haven't got a complete group now, and we probably need to take it, that concept to the complete group. I believe we'll get consensus, but we haven't tested that as yet.
No, and I think that's right. And I think it's more like if you have any recollection of something that was said that we failed to capture, because I think in large measure we're going to table this particular document to focus on preparation for LA. But if anybody spots anything here that seems like a misrepresentation of something they said or heard said, this would be a good time to bring it up. I think that's why it's on the agenda today, not to come up with any definitive conclusions about it.
Cheryl here. Okay, good to know. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Graham, that we used the expression backwards. But what I mean is we're going to set it down on the table and pick up something new. And I appreciate you speaking up, because it means you're volunteering to speak up on the next issue that we're discussing. So if no one has anything further about this in the near term, and as a kind of a quick bulleted summary of the conversations we've had thus far, then I think we'll set it aside for the time being and then circle back to it after LA. Is everybody okay with that approach? Okay, excellent. Thank you, Steve, for sharing it and bringing it up, and we'll revisit. My initial impression is that it captures pretty well the conversations that we had, and there'll be some refinements later on, but that we want to really focus on preparing for LA to the extent that we can. So, Graham, do you want to take a minute to explain the appropriate use of the expression to table something?
It's the document you're putting on the table that you're all discussing. You're sitting around a table, and that's what you're looking at.
I think
Australian, English, Canadian, when you table a motion, or bringing it forward do something with it. It's not that you're putting it down.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Cheryl here, that is it. To table is to do that. You table reports, you table discussions, you table things, and then you deal with them.
Interesting.
You Americans have your own little quirky ways.
We do. So in our case, we pick things up off the table to deal with them, and so we put them back down on the table to not deal with them, I guess. That's the, and then when you say that something's off the table, it usually means that you're never going to deal with it. So in that light, what we want to do is I would like to table a discussion in the Australian sense of how we might begin to think about a framework or a set of considerations or scenarios for requesting data from contracted parties with an eye toward getting a broader participation of those contracted parties in LA in a face-to-face meeting. So that's another big part of our conversation today, is how to actually bring that about and what's the best formula for success in what will be everyone's very busy week to have that face-to-face meeting. So two parts. One is to begin to noodle the content for that to have a basis of discussion in LA, and the other is to noodle how do we get butts in the seats for that conversation. So we started to have a little bit of a conversation about this on the previous call in terms of questions that may come up, and we talked a little bit about data that I presented a sort of crass distinction between data that the contracted parties would be happy to share and data they would be unhappy to share, and some of the reasons they might be unhappy to share it, some of which were costs, labor associated with getting the data prepared, syncing it with data of their counterparts, or the competitive nature of the data. And so what I'd love to do is just start a brainstorming in this meeting, and I'm hoping that maybe Graham and Pam can kind of lead that brainstorming session as to what do you think the elements are that we need to capture, and what are the important components in the types of data that we might be requesting, and the best way to request it in a way that request will be well received. So can I get Graham or Pam to speak up? Graham, go ahead.
Sure. Hey, this is Graham Bunton for the transcript. So that is a sort of long and tricky question, but I've got a few bits and pieces, but I'll preface that with, I floated this out to the Registrar Stakeholder Group, but there hasn't quite been a time yet, I think, for that whole discussion to take place, although there's a little bit of feedback coming in. So hopefully in the future I'll have a little bit more meat to put on these bones. There's sort of another category, not moving into it, there was a new category that came out that I thought was pretty interesting, raised by one of my registrar colleagues, and that was in the context of ICANN requesting something like data from our customer support systems to identify if there's a particular issue, and how that should probably be fully excluded from any sort of policy development process, mostly because that speaks to how we've necessarily implemented something, and not necessarily if there is an issue that is worthy of those sort of policy development process. So that doesn't, I think, quite fit into the categories of sort of exclusionary stuff that we've talked about before. But that was an interesting, category that I thought was worth it. Some discussion. Most of the response I was getting from registrars was of the sort of over my dead body type, or, information that shouldn't or wouldn't be shared. And that's, I guess, worth thinking about a bit. Let me see if I can find some of that discussion here to refer back to it. Things like financial information. And we've discussed that, I think, previously, how much people are charging for things and making stuff is probably verboten, as well as end-user registrant information, like who a registrar's customers actually are. I thought maybe an interesting way to get at some of this might be to think about a possible future working group. The one I sort of had in my head is, we're wrapping up IRTPD at the moment, the delight that it's been. And one of the issues coming out of that, and that we're sort of explicitly acknowledging, is that there needs to be a sort of overarching look at how transfers work, similar to, I guess, how the sort of who is has been looked at. And as a part of that, you know, there's going to need to be data collected from contracted parties around how transfers work. And I certainly think that's, you know, possible. We can do that, and there would be a willingness amongst registrars to do so, you know, and provide that. You know, it's going to be how many transfer requests happen, how many fail, and in what stage do they fail. And so I was pitching that as a scenario to the registrars, and it, you know, concerns are the amount of time it takes to collect that data, and people were probably saying a minimum of 4 weeks. What else was going on in there? Let me see if I can find it in my notes. Yeah, there needs to make sure to be anonymization of that data, so that individual registrants aren't exposed. But it may also make sense to anonymize things in a way that they're still linkable, so that if, you know, there could be a lot of transfers, but not from a, you know, but from very few actual individual registrants, mm-hmm. things like that, in that context, need to be thought about. So I'm a bit brain dumping now as I go through my emails. Maybe I'll let those things settle and see if there's any questions. I see Cheryl's got her hand up.
Yeah, sure. I have a question as well, but Cheryl, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. And Graham, I popped my hand up when you're talking about the not over my, you know, or from my cold rotting corpse hands information. And you were talking specifically about the identifiables. Not that I wanted to use the anonymized word, because I know that we would be dealing in anonymized fashions if this was an issue anyway, but I wondered how far that identifiables concern went with your particular stakeholder group. Let me see if I can make myself clearer. For example, the actual registrant, that's kind of a no-brainer. But what if the data was to be socioeconomic, industry sector, business type, blah, blah, blah? So you were suddenly getting information about the nature of the businesses that are, or individuals who are the registrants. So you could then profile small and micro, medium-sized, large enterprises, various industry sectors, perhaps even turnover of the client, should those questions be asked. How nervous would your stakeholder group be about giving that type of profile away? Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Graham for the transcript. I'll just respond to that. Two things came to mind. One is that anonymization is probably also going to happen at the registrar level. So however data is collected, you're not going to be able to tell, and you shouldn't be able to tell, which registrar it came from. So a number of registrars may submit data, you know, the end user registrant, and then once all that registrar data is collected and anonymized from its source, that becomes less dangerous because it
right.
may be difficult at that point. The other thing that
makes
was
a
that
big
that,
difference, yeah, yeah. So, sorry, it's just that I just thought there might be a concern about profiling particular market sector interests, and if it's anonymized at that double layer, then that's not going to be an issue. Thanks.
It shouldn't be. I mean, it depends on how many, registrars end up contributing data. You know, if you find it's only us and GoDaddy and we're wholesale and they're all retail, you might be able to begin segmenting some of that. The other thing is that kind of presumes that some of us have that data already, and I suspect out of the very largest registrars outside of that, and even including some of the largest registrars, may have no idea, especially in a wholesale scenario. Where we don't have that end user relationship with those with the registrant. Those aren't the people we sell to. We sell to the hosting companies, right? Mm. So, you know, that sort of segment information is not particularly useful for a company like Two Cows. And
understood. Yeah.
We just don't have it. Jonathan, you had a question? I also see Pam's got a hand up. Sorry, now I'm pretending I'm in the middle of privacy and proxy.
My question actually had to do with the issue you said was raised by one of your counterparts about type of data, and I just didn't understand what you were saying. So, but pardon me if I missed the point, but it sounded like that data that had to do with the implementation of policy wouldn't have to do with the formation of policy, and I'm not sure I understood what you meant by that, because if we're in the process of trying to scope a problem, which is that the average time of some kind of corrective measure is 3 days, and we want to set an objective that corrective measure only takes 1 day to complete instead, then at some level, execution of existing policy could very well inform policy development. So your conclusion I didn't agree with, but I may have missed why you said it.
I don't think I disagree with that. Where I think the distinction is that they want to make sure that, and we would too, that our own support information is excluded, so that you could see from, sort of open SRS transactional system how long a transfer takes to complete, and we might want to look at improving the speed of transfers.
Right.
But none of that information is going to come from that's all going to come from sort of the raw transactional stuff, and none of that's coming out of our support ticket system where we're, getting people complaining about, a slow transfer or who knows what, and so the support stuff is going to be more informed of by a registrar's particular implementation.
The problem is this is very hypothetical, but I mean, isn't there still an instance in which we might want to know the something about the percentage of complaints of a certain type or something like that, and to gain an understanding of what end-user perception is surrounding a particular policy implementation?
I can imagine scenarios in where that's useful, but I suspect that's data you will have an extremely difficult time getting. It also requires
even in an anonymized world where we don't know what registrar we're talking about or what registry we're talking about.
That also makes it extremely difficult to anonymize that data, because most of that is going to be preform text, captured in sort of tickets.
Sure. And so I guess I don't know enough about your system. I know compliance is finally doing more categorized capturing of complaints that makes this kind of analysis easier, and I don't know if you guys are there, but
so that sort of analysis where you're looking at, sort of broad overviews of support tickets is a lot of freeform text. It requires a lot of really crazy sort of analysis, short of just going through it and reading them all. It can be arduous to extract and collect, and would also contain all sorts of personal tidbits about, registrants and resellers and information that I think people, including us, would want to sort of exclude from most of this process.
Sure, I don't want to put you too much on the spot either, because we are just brainstorming. but just trying to hash this out to its conclusion, right? Like, it's to treat this as a guinea pig conversation.
So,
is it possible that would be an environment in which a third party could be contracted to have a bunch of little elves go through and read the preform text with a set of predefined categories, and all they're doing is checking boxes and essentially generating data based on that information, and it's just that generated data we would have access to?
Yeah, so I don't want to say, you know, no forever, and, you know, slam the steel doors closed or something. But it would just be, that was a scenario that was brought forward, and I agree that it was problematic, and we would have to think pretty long and hard about how that would be implemented and done, and is certainly worth discussing maybe some more, probably in LA, face-to-face. We can get some other registrars out and see what they think. There's another thought I was having in there about that I've now lost. If it comes back to me, I'll bring it up.
All right. Thanks, Graham. I don't mean to turn on the heat or anything like that. I'm just trying to figure out how we...
No, it's okay.
Because that might be a kind of a scenario that we try to walk all the way through to get to how the useful could be extracted from the private, if that makes sense, in such a way that it's both useful and still private. And so, I mean, that might want to be part of a framework and part of a pathway to... What might be costly, I mean, but maybe worth it given the stakes of the particular issue involved, of involving an independent third party whose job is, you know, to extract the useful data out of the private data in a trusted way or something like that. That's all that came to mind just now. Pam, go ahead. You've had your hand up for a bit.
Thank you. Hey. Jonathan, Andrew and I started to circulate the question of what the initial framework for requesting data from contract parties might look like to the registry stakeholder group. We haven't had any feedback yet, to be honest, so I suspect, you know, registries are really busy, new ones are busy launching the new GTODs, and existing ones probably also busy with other tracks of ICANN work. You know, there's so much going on at the moment. But we'll bring back feedback as we go along with our deliberations. I just want to sort of start off by making a distinction about data from the registry perspective. From our perspective, there is all sorts of data that is required of registry to provide to ICANN on a regular basis to ICANN under the contract we have with ICANN. So I presume we're talking about data that is not included in those mandatory obligations. Is that correct?
I think that's a very good question, and I think on the whole that would probably be true. The one, I guess, caveat I would make to that is that much of the data that you share under contract with ICANN has very specific prescriptions as to how that data can be used by ICANN. So it's probably not safe for us to assume that just because there's data you share with ICANN that it would immediately be shareable in a useful way with the work group. It might require a separate request to even get at data you already share, if that makes sense.
Okay. It does, but what we're thinking is, well, Andrew and I were discussing about this, is if the data is already made available to ICANN under contract or supplied to ICANN under contract, we presumably, a working group can get that data from ICANN rather than from registries. This goes to cost and time and resource, obviously, right? If you already got that data with ICANN, why would you bother to go to the contract party, right?
No, I think that's exactly the case. It provided there wasn't anything in the contract that would require your prior approval to ICANN, the people at ICANN who receive that data, sharing it with whatever work group wanted to make use of the data. That's all.
Agree.
So it may be a question of getting permission from the people that have already shared data to use the data in the context of the work group, and that still would be a request that would go out to the contracted parties, potentially.
Okay. So if the contract doesn't allow a specific purpose that data will be used, then, yes, you probably need to seek additional consent from the contracted party to use that data. That's granted. And even the registry agreement with the new GTODs, it actually contemplated registry providing data for some economic study in the future. You were in that group, you know, the consumer trust, the consumer choice.
That's right.
So that is actually contemplated in the agreement, and registry would need to provide data or, you know, if the request is reasonable, obviously. So I just want to
sort of... RFP just went out on the 8th, by the way, so you'll probably be receiving requests.
Exactly.
Before too long, I think. Mid-November, I think, is when that economic study will be awarded.
Okay, great. So I think we're trying to sort of draw a line there just to make it easier for registry stakeholder group members to think about this issue. If they get an ad hoc request from a PDP working group, how should the framework look like? So that's really also to make things a bit easier. Otherwise, our relationship with ICANN is under contract, and the contract deals with the data we need to provide and how ICANN can use that data, and then so we don't want to deal with that area for now. That's where we are thinking. Does that make sense?
I think that's fair. I think all things being equal, if ICANN already has the data, we would just try to use the data without placing any additional burden on the contracted parties. So these scenarios are really for situations in which the work group does not have access to data that contracted parties have.
Okay, so just a little, based on that premise, I think we have a few, or Andrew and I sort of come up with some very high-level principle built on those you actually alluded to in your email. So, and they're just our thoughts. It's not the group's kind of registry stakeholder as a group. The principle with consensus, that type of thing. So do you want me to just very quickly run through those?
Sure. I mean, and if you have something that's written in any kind of bullet form, we can probably get it emailed to staff, and they can put it up on the screen.
So very quickly, I think I agree with Graham. From a registry perspective, if the data should be anonymized and aggregated to the extent possible and still useful to the working group. And
sure.
We also think that the data should, the request for data from registry should be based on this non-discriminatory principle to the extent possible. Again, you know, maybe you need to go to a specific registry, but if possible, it should be requested from all registries.
Right.
Okay, and the other one is about the optional, because we just make the distinction whether data is actually mandatory under the contract or this is just ad hoc optional. So we think then if it's ad hoc, then the data request must make it very clear to contracted party that providing this data is optional. So that might be a big controversy.
Well, that's going to be a sticky question, obviously.
Agree.
So I mean, we'll probably have to deal with the fact that there's only certain data that's required by the contract, and that the rest is optional. But the contracted parties are still part of a community to build a better TLD system. And so I guess what we're trying to do is define a framework in which the resistance to sharing data is minimized because the concerns have been addressed. But yes, probably at some very fundamental level, from a legal perspective, it will have to be considered optional.
Okay. And also the purpose for the data will have to be very clearly stated. What's the purpose of collecting this data from contracted party? And then the data can only be used for that purpose. In other words, for a very limited purpose and clearly understood by the contracted party. And the other one is about... Sorry.
Go ahead, that makes sense.
Okay. The other one is about cost. I think we were thinking about how to overcome the unwillingness or reluctance to provide data. It's about cost. You know, everything has a cost associated with it. So registry has to kind of prepare the data, provide the data. And I think most people agree if this is optional or ad hoc request, the cost of providing such data should not be borne by the contracted parties.
phone. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, those are reasonable. Please do circulate those bullet points to the list.
Okay, I will do that.
So
I will do that. So we got about 7 or 8 bullet points, basically, just to sort of also safeguard about unauthorized access or use and all that. These are just common sense. Right, so to build that trust, so the contracted party will feel comfortable that to provide this data, really to provide that framework and incentive, they feel safe to give that data to either third party or ICANN.
Right. Okay. I think that's right. I mean, it probably shouldn't be a profit generating endeavor to share data, but certainly if there's costs associated with the anonymization or the collection or the cleaning of data or something like that, those should probably be borne by ICANN through some approved budget for the work group. Graham, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Graham for the transcript again. I just wanted to agree with much of what Pam was saying in there, especially around, and you sort of addressed it subsequently, but compulsion and that there's a strong resistance from registrars to be against mandatory sharing of data. Many of them are small and don't have the resources of big registrars to spend time and energy to go find the relevant data, format it appropriately, and send it out, and running the business intelligence team at two cows, I can tell you that these sort of requests take considerable amount of time and effort, and you have to be careful that it's right and get a couple sets of eyes on it. And so you just probably can't compel all reseller registrars to participate. It would be impossible for lots of smaller people. Cost is a not necessarily performing that sort of search and contributing data, but making sure it's processed and anonymized, we might have to think about how that cost is taken care of. That's all.
Agreed. Steve?
Jonathan?
Ken?
Steve?
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks. I just had a couple points. Agreeing with Grant's point about the contract parties not wanting to and presumably not being or cannot be compelled to share data. I think there's probably compelling reasons that they may want to, because it does inform the policy development process, which ultimately affects these same contracted parties. So I think at some point we may want to highlight the benefits to them and really highlight to them what benefit it serves to them to actually share this data. Second point I wanted to make.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair point.
The second point I wanted to make was that you were mentioning data from ICANN. I think it was envisioned that we would want to develop a similar framework for internal data requests from the registry department, the registrar department, and compliance. So that's all. Thanks.
That makes sense. Yeah, most of these things are not done behind closed doors. People are purely aware of issues that are being discussed by work groups and things like that, and why things are being discussed. I think there probably are going to be instances in which the potential policy recommendations of a working group are adverse, at least to the short-term economic interests of a contracted party with a particular product or something like that. So, we're probably not going to always find complete kumbaya-style agreement on every request for data in the policy development process, but to the extent possible, I think we always want to showcase what the net benefit of having a good policy would be and why that data would be helpful. Other things that this inspires from other folks? Gabriel, go ahead. Gabrielle? Am I mispronouncing your name? Vergara? You have your hand up?
Do you hear me?
Oh, I do now, yes. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I was wondering a little bit about the anonymizing the data, and when you are talking about asking the right questions to mine the correct data to the policy making, it's really important to try to be sure when we ask to the registers the data that the data provides all the information that we need. And in the first stage, when you are mining data, probably you can't anonymize data. You have to go and pick it, all the data, and try to figure out which are the best bits to make policies. In my case, I was explaining it, for instance, how you are going to track sites that are or registers that are having most spammers or most malicious software providers and so on, so that you can make the right policies to correct those problems, or how you solve the issue where a register is in troubles with a lot of malicious customers, and that in fact makes bad reputation for the register or itself. So you can help also with the right questions, with the right data, to provide tools to the registers to protect themselves also against those things. Because, for instance, here in the European Union, in Finland, one of the things that I've noticed is that, people, it's well-behaved somehow. And when something is not going right, then they go to the parliament, and then, where in Finland, they put regulations to the providers of anything to try to fix the issues. And one of the routes that they use, or the tools that they use, is asking the right questions. And it's really effective when you are in a small community like Finland. It's 5 million, so you can make policies for everyone, and it's for everyone. But in the internet world, it's really difficult to make policies. So we have to be careful how we can mine the right data. Data mining, it's really extensive, and it's really resource-eating. So how much people are we going to have behind? Or are we only counting with the people that it's working in the register side providing data to us? It's also something that we have to be careful.
No, not at all. Per Barry's comment down in the chat, this is only one aspect of data collection. The other aspect is outside sources, internal ICANN data, compliance data. There are a lot of different potential sources for data, only one of which is contracted parties. If it's Spam House is the source of data, for example, then the only conversation we really need to have is if we can have the money to go get the data, right? And so that, because that data is already for sale. With the compliance office, it'll be a question again whether or not the collection of that data is in any way in conflict with the contracts that govern the relationship between ICANN and contracted parties. So, I mean, this is literally just one slice of data collection that might take place.
Yeah.
And that's data from contracted parties, but those are folks that have a special set of concerns that we may need to come up with a framework to address. That's all. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. So one other question about this is: are we going to have different teams for each type of data? Like Pamela was saying, for instance, the business and the type of categorizations that you have, and then you are going to have another team collecting data for problems related to registers and so on, and providing how you're going to make a catalog for that data. How many teams will be behind?
Well, Gabriel, I don't think that it's a question of teams. We're the team. There's just one team. What I had done was ask Graham and Pam and Andrew to begin to brainstorm on issues that might come up from contracted parties as we deal with that particular slice of data. It's not like they're in charge of the framework, but that's still going to be all of us figuring out what the framework is that's the work product of this work group, right? So, I mean, they aren't a team. They were just individuals that had some special insights to help get the creative juices flowing on a framework that we would all agree to as a group. So I don't know yet whether or not this is extensive enough that we should have separate teams or not. They just seem to be good folks to get things started. Conversation. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. My point was that I started to go over many things where not too much people here.
No, that's right. So I think this is something that's going to get quickly less complex than it seems right now as we really start to delve into it and try to build this framework. But one of the things we're trying to do, and I guess I'd like to get to this conversation sooner rather than later, is in dealing with this particular slice of data, which is contracted parties, I feel like there's a real opportunity if we do some kind of a meeting in which there's broader participation for contracted parties in Los Angeles, and I'd be really interested in ideas about how to bring that about. But Graham, go ahead. You have a comment on something.
Thank you. There's a couple things in there that I wanted to address, so I might be backing up a little bit. We talked briefly, and I think I've mentioned this before, about encouraging registrar or contracted party participation. I think there's lots of good examples where us sharing data ahead of time would have reduced considerable amounts of pain for us in the future, registrant verification being a big one. There are plenty of, and these typically come from, now I'm throwing people under the bus, but, law enforcement and IP protection about how things are a huge problem, and there's actually considerable data that there is not. And so registrars engaged in the process, sharing data, can be extremely good for us and for the community as a whole. So there is certainly the opportunity to pitch these things to registrars and other contracted parties in a way that will be positive. I wanted to go back to a bit of what Gabrielle was saying, though, and I think it also relates to what Pam was saying about how we need to ensure that our questions are to contracted parties are extremely focused and narrow. What Gabrielle was talking about a bit there, and that's something that will never fly with contracted parties, is just a data dump so that they can go mining for the bits that they want. We're never going to share with you data so you can go and find a couple bad actors in it. That's just not how this sort of process would work. We want to make sure we've got a well-defined question around a larger policy issue within the ICANN community, and then we can look at that addressing. But there's no, here's all our domains, go find some bad guys.
Of course.
You would find quick resistance to that sort of thing.
My point was, I'm confident of that.
Yeah, my point was, for instance, it was just an example. If you want to make a policy of how to tackle down problems with bad behavior or something like that, and you want to make policies, you have to ask the right questions. Anonymizing the bad guys, it will be a little bit difficult to find them. That was my point. It's just a bored example. But, yeah, it's asking the right questions, the secret.
That's right. And so this can be difficult at the hypothetical level, but I mean, it could be that the profile of a bad actor, a hypothetical bad actor, could be developed together with compliance, and that can be used for asking the right questions of the data that then is anonymized before it's used. So I think there's some ways around that. But obviously everybody would love more open data, and that conversation came up in one of our meetings not in London, but the meeting before in Singapore. let's try to make everything open, and I recognize that that's not going to happen in the context of the contracted parties, or certainly not in its entirety. But I think we will need to work to figure out how to ask the right questions on a case-by-case basis, and that should be part of the framework, to be narrow in our requests for data, for sure.
Yeah, to jump in again, sorry, very very briefly, when people start talking about bad actors, a lot of that is very quickly outside of the domain name space and becomes content and other activity related. And it's just all about making sure that we remain focused on data that's relevant to ICANN and focus those questions in ways that we can develop good policy.
Agreed. So if folks don't mind, I'd like to switch the conversation over to Los Angeles. And again, maybe put the onus back on Pam and Graham to figure out if it's feasible to have a larger brainstorming discussion in LA and how we might bring that about or when it might best happen, et cetera. Pam, go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan. I understand there is a joint registrar session planned for the LA meeting. I need to find out exactly what time it is and whether there will be if we can squeeze in few, say 10-15 minutes for that topic even, because usually it's very tight. I thought that might be a good opportunity where both contracted parties are in the room, rather than holding separate session. I presume some of the concerns registrars have might be also what registry might have, so they would have common concerns and common issues, although their data might be very different.
I think that's probably right. I don't know that that's what we're after. I think having three people each or something from registries and registrars in an hour-long meeting is more what I was hoping for.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to having that huge, having 10 minutes in your huge meeting, which will be enough to tell people what we're up to, but not really enough to brainstorm on or to look at a straw man or something like that. I think it's my objective to try and have some kind of a straw man set of principles and some kind of a flow chart to put in front of contracted parties in time for LA, and so just having kind of a little bit of representative group to get a real discussion going is kind of what I was hoping for. Graham, go ahead. And as Cheryl says, both would be great. Obviously, it'd be great to get the 10 minutes. I won't turn that down. I didn't mean to imply that.
That's okay.
I also want. It would also be great to just get a little bit broader participation from. Contracted parties for just that one face-to-face meeting where we talk about something that's very specific to them. Graham, go ahead.
Yeah, a 10-minute slot in Constituency Day would be good to let people know, and then also assuming DMPM's got a time slot after Constituency Day, you can use that slot to invite registrars and registries to join us in our meeting, I guess, because it's going to be, rather than try and spin up another session, we'll probably just have to use that main one to get as much discussion from whoever
right.
we can in there.
And that's what I mean. I do mean our meeting. I don't mean having two meetings of this group, but getting more of them to our meeting and kind of helping them to know that it's really a surge, as it's been put in some instances of participation around this particular topic. That would suggest that we should try to have it later, though, Barry. Barry's suggesting in the comment period a slot on Monday, but I guess the question is whether or not we should try to have it after Constituency Day so that we can use a small time slot on Constituency Day as a sales pitch. Barry, do you want to speak, or are you just going to write? Oh, Thursday a.m.? You mean that breakfast meeting that we had before?
I want to know what it is.
So let me ask this question again to Graham and Pam then. I remember, Graham, how you felt about the last Thursday a.m. meeting. If that was the only option, do you think you could be successful in getting some participation, even though it might be that the morning after the gala again?
Morning after galas are exquisitely difficult.
The gala is Monday again.
Oh, it's going to be Monday.
Oh, weird.
Okay.
That makes it a little more likely.
Pam, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not so confident about that slot. I just feel it's too late in the ICANN meeting week, and people have so much on, and it's 8 o'clock. It's really a not very positive slot in my view. I'm not hopeful that we'll get a lot of people attending that.
Well, if we take the Monday slot, can you guys do the sales work, or can I be invited on to a call with each of your constituencies for 2 minutes prior to LA to help with that pitch? Is there a way to do the invite some other time than the constituent day, so we're not having the tail wag the dog, as they say?
This is Graham. I mean, we can if we. Yeah, if it's Monday, we can certainly rabble rouse on our email list ahead of time to see if we can get any traction. I wouldn't be holding my breath for huge participation in any way, anyway.
No, that's right. Just getting a little. This just has a direct effect on those constituencies. That's all, and so if we could just even have a little burst of participation on that day, I think it would be helpful, especially from other people like you, Graham, that deal with data inside your organizations. You haven't started the trade association yet of a data intelligence, registrar data intelligence officers or anything?
No. I think I'm pretty unique right now. Or I have started that agency and it's just me.
So is it your sense, I'm sort of putting this at your feet and I apologize for that. You feel like with your recruiting and my help, if I'm able to help, we have a better chance of getting more turnout on Monday afternoon than we do Thursday morning? Which do you think is better? Which is the lesser of two evils?
Monday afternoon, probably.
Okay. Pam?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just morning, 8 o'clock, it seems to be too early for some people. They either have breakfast, business meeting, or, you know, something else. I don't think it's a very good timing. But we can try. My experience with registry stakeholder group is this. It's non-PDP, probably not priority work, among all other things. So they might react better if we put something to them rather than asking them to come and brainstorm and come up with the framework. That's my personal feeling.
And it's my hope to do both. So we'll try to put something to them as well.
Okay.
I feel like there's a real value to a face-to-face meeting to the extent to which we can do it. So I'm going to say then, unless there's contradiction, that we go ahead and grab the 1300 to 1430 time frame on Monday. And then you guys will try to give a heads up and do some rabble rousing on your constituent calls, and I will also do a pitch on the weekend GNSO sessions, as Barry suggested. Okay.
Sounds good.
Excellent.
Okay.
We're at the end of our time. I think what I'm going to do is take the if Pam, if you would send me the document you posted into chat, we'll send it out to the entire list.
Okay.
And Graham, if you have any additions or subtractions from that document, I'm going to take that together, perhaps with Steve and others who are interested, and try to figure out what a straw man document might look like that could then be put in front of contracted parties as a framework and circulate that to the list. And then if the list feels like it's a good straw man, then we will try to get that out to contracted parties in advance. and we'll discuss it on the 23rd, and we'll discuss it on the 23rd of September. Does that sound good to everyone?
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. So, Pam, I'll look for your document, and Graham, your comments on the document, and Steve and I will powwow before the 23rd to have a good discussion piece on the 23rd.
Okay. Great.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.